We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time. For Coz, Low, and Dibs. Featuring Jim Cosimore.
Will you just shut your yapper?
Lorenzo Neal.
Because it's a diddle diddle, kittle down the middle.
And Dan Dibley.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, if it's Thursday, this must be the 95.7 Morning Show. Happy to be with Lo Neal and Dan Dibley. I am Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason. And today is a glorious day for those of us, the few of us, who still believe, in Brandon Belt. That's right, Brandon Belt, three-run bomb last night, added a double. I call him Brandon Nimitz, Dibs, because his OPS is now 880. And I don't know if that's going to catch on. I don't really like the...
No, it works for me. I think you absolutely nailed it there. Brandon Nimitz with an OPS of 880, and he delivered. Yeah. It was a good matchup for him. And if you look at the splits, as I poured over the numbers yesterday, you could see that he was poised, Whitey, for a big game yesterday, and he delivered.
Nice. Yeah. He's underappreciated. He's underrated. But he led the way last night, that 4-3 Giants win at Colorado. That renews hope for, I don't know, dare I say it, I was going to say playoff push. I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say it renews hope. Renews hope certainly that Lowe may win his bet and that you, Dibs, may be hanging out with Pastor Ron.
This could be. I thought you were going to harken back to a little playoff time because the Giants creeping closer to that 500 mark. And, you know, we saw this against the Dodgers. They got motorboated in game one. They got boated in game two, and they somehow – I got to tell you, they somehow found a way to get that split. So here we go. Game four, Colorado. Chance to get it done.
Yeah, day game today. I don't know. Lo, you feeling better about your bet after last night's big Giants win?
It was a huge win. I look at this Giants team, the way they keep scrapping, fighting. You saw the first series against L.A. Dodgers. It really wasn't competitive, and everyone wants to go back to 17-2. Run differential, and they just really wasn't in that those first two games. But I think this is a different circumstance. If you look at Colorado, I mean, we can make a case that they were in every game. We can make a case that they could have won a game or two here, and they could be leading this series. So I don't think that it's – I think that these are two different series. I think they stand along on their own two different merits. I don't think you can compare L.A. because L.A., like Dib said, motorboat them. This hasn't been a motorboat. This has been a very, very competitive series. So you see this team, it keeps fighting. It keeps fighting away, and that's all you can. Even if they lose, you see that they're still in these games, especially against Colorado. So they've been scrappy. They've been scrappy, and I think they're keeping us interested in them, and I think that's the main thing that we need to look forward to. And see what Kapler's going to roll out there and see what Forhan's going to allow him to do, because right now they're competitive, and that's what we wanted to see, competitive.
Lo, are you currently greenside at Harding Park for the PGA Championship? Because right now you're channeling your inner Jim
that's
Nance.
Right.
Hello, friends, and you are absolutely getting me ready for the first major of the year. Hello, friends.
Yeah, I just feel that it's, you know, I'll usually always come in and yelling and screaming, and sometimes it's good at times, but then at times I think it takes away from, you know, the dynamics that I really can bring, even being calm and poised and just really laying out a point. I don't necessarily have to yell and call, you know, and get you guys all riled up to make a specific point. And right now I'm just trying to make a point that if you look at these series that they've been in, this has been a very, very competitive team. Just you take out two games and those little two openers, the way they got motivated against, you know, LA, you look at it after that and you say, okay, this team has been very, very competitive. So I'm just trying to not make, I know earlier you talked about making that comparison how, yeah, they lost those two games and they came back to win the two, you know, against LA. But I think this one has been different. I think that we talked about certain things that what they could have done to be in this series against Colorado. They're winning Colorado into the sixth inning and, you know, give up, you know, maybe they left a guy in there too long and tied it up and go ahead. So they were in these games. It just looks a little different series than it was against LA. That's the only point that I'm trying to make here, fellas.
Thank you, Lo. And Dibs, thank you for bringing up the PGA. Who's going to take that, by the way? Ricky Fowler.
Lanto Griffin will be your winner. Mark it down
really?
Now. Lanto Griffin, yes. Go early, go often. Unleash both barrels on Lanto Griffin today. I got a tip from a guy who knows a thing or two about tips. And so we're all in on Lanto Griffin at 400-1, Whitey.
Wow. Is there anything you can share with us about why that would happen?
Good player, I got to tell you. He can, right. You know, he can hit it. He looked good in practice rounds. He carved it around Harding pretty well. And if you look at your FedEx Cup standings, he is the one name in that top 10. Yes, I said
hold
it.
Hold on,
top
let me get those.
That you wouldn't quite. Yeah, it's over there next to your Pro Bowler, your season rankings. And it's right next to your WNBA All-Star ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there it is.
Right there.
Glad you
You're
found
correct.
It.
I had not noticed that. Thank you for pointing
that
out.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We give and we give and we give. And Lo, what's he got there? About a 7-iron?
Yeah, I think he's got a 7 in his hand. He's going to really, really bring rain with that 7. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does at that 7 there.
Dibs, what do you think of Brandon Belt last night? That looked to me like, maybe a 4-iron stinger, that first home run. He didn't even follow through all the way. He just kind of, you know, pop. That low stinger. Rocky's repeatedly throwing the ball in the one place where Brandon Belt could punish it. I'd have been a little upset about that if I were Buddy Black, the Rocky skipper. But what do you think of that real quick to the ball stroke that Brandon Belt had to take it out last night in Colorado?
It's beautiful.
Kind of golf-like.
I'm a little worried, though, if it's a dog leg left as a left-hander. I don't know if he'll be able to work the ball from right to left, but certainly he's got that left to right. He's hitting that draw. A little bit of Bubba Watson in his swing right there, the way he's able to go down and get it and flick it with the left hand and majestically drive it. And that was really what the doctor ordered, because this team has been hunting and pecking. It's like me typing, Kev. I don't know how to type, so it's all about two furious index fingers not getting a lot done. That's kind of the Giants' offense from a typist standpoint.
Yeah. Well, how about defensively? They only made one error last night, only one miscue for the Giants, so cutting back on those, that's progress.
Yeah, strike up the band. Only one error, Lo, and as opposed to the usual two or three.
I know Dibs has been. You've been on that. You've been really harping on. I mean, more than defense and pitching, the defense. You have been talking about the defensive errors these last couple games. Dibs is saying, man, this has been costing them games. The errors and, you know, the timely missed balls and drop balls. And you're talking about Longoria going to his right, and he should have been at a position. We talked about errors the other day, and it was like, man, these things are starting to mount up. And you know, you even talked about a catcher that, you know, you equated Whitey to a catcher interfering with the batter is like a quarterback at the end of the game kneeling down and fumbling that snap. I was like blown away when he made that analogy, thinking about a catcher can interfere with a batter like that. So you look at those errors and look at those untimely errors and when they happen for the Giants, and it's cost them some ball games and cost them some, you know, some crucial situations. So I think that's huge. If you see that cut down, Dibs, it's something that you've been harping on the last couple of days.
Yeah, and you can't give away free outs to teams, especially teams like Colorado, best team in the division right now, but also when you've got young pitching and you're trying to rely on your young pitchers to get it done. And shout out Tyler Rogers for coming in yesterday, Whitey, and creeping that ERA back under 10 where it belongs. He was very effective out of the pen, and you got a nice performance from Gott to close it out. That's the formula. Don't kick the ball around. Timely three-run yakker. Find your way to get it done. And today, a chance to earn an inexplicable split in the Mile High City.
I'm waiting for you to give a little love to Rockland's Logan Webb, who became the, let's see, he was the first Giants starter to get a win this year, ERA 2.13. Logan Webb pitching very well for the Giants last night.
Yeah, I've been loving on Logan for quite a long time now, the better part of 2.5 weeks, because I believe that Logan is our future. Pitch them well and let them lead the way. Show them all, Lo, what beauty you have with your two-seamer. And, of course, Rockland, the former spring training training camp home of your 49ers, Sierra College, where, yes, you may want to get that, Lo. Somebody's alarm's going off. But,
is that your car?
Is that an alarm? It's a car alarm at Harding Park? I think Lanto Griffin just stepped away. That was a
right
crazy confluence.
Swing. But,
yeah, I've been loving on Logan Whitey for quite some time. He is the future ace of the Giants.
Yeah, and look, we'd be remiss if we didn't give a little love to the Oakland Athletics. Another win last night, 6-4 over the Texas Rangers. How about them Athletics? Matt Olson with 2 home runs. And keep an eye on this kid, this left-handed catcher that hit one out last night for the Athletics. Austin Allen, a left-handed catcher with a little pop. He could have a long career. Maybe he's not going to be an all-star, but if you're a left-handed catcher and you can hit a little bit, he's going to have a long career in the majors.
Yeah, one of the rare AA players, first in your baseball encyclopedia, and certainly not last in your heart. So, something to watch. A's, super scalding, and as Lo knows, they were my American League pennant winner in the prediction portion of this program. As I popped 3 P's in a row, I had it Braves over A's in the eventual World Series, assuming that we get there.
I'm trying to think of any other AAs. Aaron Altair is the only one that pops to mind. I'm sure there have been many more. I don't know. I don't know about that. So the Athletics beating the Texas Rangers, the Giants with the win last night. And as we mentioned, one more error for the Giants. And yesterday I was on the afternoon show and we talked to Farhan. I think we're going to hear some today. And among the questions for Farhan, of course, is, hey, what's the deal with the defense? Why is the defense so sloppy? There's really more than one explanation, right? The errors are not all caused by the same thing. For example, last night you had Solano playing short in a shift and he made an error. Donovan Solano is not a great defensive player anyway. Then you put him, he ends up essentially playing short in the shift. So that makes the shift look bad. You know, the shift is funny because when the shift works, what do we tend to say? I don't know about you, but I think most fans tend to say when a guy hits into the shift, we say, stupid hitter. Why didn't he go the other way? So we blame the hitter. When the shift doesn't work, stupid manager. Why? We never give the shift any credit. And then when it doesn't work, it really makes everybody look stupid because it's still non-traditional.
Yeah, and I think that the shift is the shifts, quite frankly. Just play straight up
defense. Do you really?
Because, yeah, you saw Evan Longoria the other night trying to range to his right to field the ball, looking awkward, and he boots it. Solano boots it. As many outs as you get, I think you give away just as many, and it's so deflating to the pitcher who's used to, oh, that's an easy ground ball to short. Oh, no, it's not. No one's there. That has a psychological impact that doesn't show up in the numbers.
It really does, Whitey. I mean, it really does. We had you know, Bobby Evans on the line the other day, and I talked about it earlier. I said, hey, Johnny Cueto was pitching pretty well, and all of a sudden, at ground ball, we said, hey, he took him out too late. And I was like, no, Johnny Cueto was pitching well, hit a ground ball because of the shift was on, like Dibbs alluded to. Boom, the ball goes in that hole. He looks back like, man, it's a ground ball. Should have made that simple out. And then the next batter comes up, and it's gone. Why? Because he wasn't focused. I talked about that, and Bobby came in, the same thing. Guys got to buy in. You got to let things go. So it does have an effect sometimes psychologically on the pitchers as well. You're absolutely right, Dan.
Yeah, so we got it all going on today, celebrating a Giants win, an A's win. We've got Lo maybe at Harding Park. Kind of sounds like that for the PGA. And coming up, Raheem Mostert's Captain Phillips moment. That's next on the 95.7 Morning Show with Whitey, Lo, and Dibs. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Coase, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Coase today. Coase back tomorrow, 888-957-9570. By the way, this segment presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. on the text line. Here's a wild idea. Put nice guy Steven in the lineup with Lowe and Dibs, because I can already tell Whitey's going to be a dumpster fire. I just got here. It's 6:19. Dibs. I mean,
no, that would be a skulabading would be the appropriate sound to play there, Steven. Thank you. Whether or not
text
you want
it
or not, it is a right now. Wow. It's the text of the day front runner, Lowe. It's the leader in the clubhouse.
It's early. Whitey's just getting warmed up. We got 4 hours. Let him know, Whitey. You're in the batter's box. You're going to hit a home run. You're going to be Brandon today for us. Let's do it.
That's right. Brandon Nimitz with the OPS of 880. Maybe that's where it all started going sideways for me. Hey, Raheem Mostert met with the media yesterday. You remember the movie Captain Phillips, right? I am the captain now. Yeah, well, yesterday, Raheem Mostert had his Captain Phillips moment.
Back when I was talking about getting more bulky, I didn't mean as far as, like, you know, being 220 and having a whole lot of weight on me. It was more so, you know, being bulky as far as my muscle, having more muscle mass and, you know, having more endurance and all those type of things. So that way I'm able to get 20-something carries, you know, a game, which is, you know, not to say that it's not going to happen, but I got to prepare myself because I am the starting running back and you know, my confidence level is just up to, you know, the guys that consider themselves to be top backs.
I am the starting running back. When I step on that field, I want everyone to say that's a bad mofo. That's Raheem Mostert yesterday. Great attitude to have, but I would think, given Kyle Shanahan's penchant for running a committee through the running back position, maybe if Mostert's thinking of himself that way, maybe he should prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah, or prepare to, hopefully it doesn't happen the same way it happened in Captain Phillips with I Am the Captain. That didn't really go well for
Somali
pirates. No, but yeah. It was your analogy, and so I thought we could bring it to a conclusion, which, you know.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, I mean, Raheem Mostert's not going to get 20 carries a game. At least he might get through 11 or 12 games based on that analogy. So I liked it up front, but then I started thinking about the movie and thought, geez, I think turns a little dark there toward the end with the guns and the snipers and the hey-hey and the Lavin and all that. So I think Raheem Mostert's right. He is a starter, but he's not getting 20 totes a game, Lowe. I think he's probably more 12, 15 at the absolute outset with that stable of backs, don't you think?
I think so, but I think there's going to be times where he gets 20-plus carries a game. There's going to be opportunity now that you just paid the guy. You're going to feed the guy. You got to realize when you look at Kyle Shanahan and his offense, you think about some of the backs that he had, guys that ran in it when they were running the ball, running it well and very effective. They were getting the ball, you know, 19, 22, you know, under that 25 Dibs, some of these guys, and still bringing other backs to spare them. So you look at a team, most teams, Dibs, if you think about it, they're going to average between 20 to 30, 32, 30 carries a game, depending on the game. So you're right in the sense that you're saying it ain't going to be a consistent averaging over 20 carries a game. That's not going to happen. But there will be a game where they're filling in a game or two or here. I would say if you gave me a number, I would set it at 7, that he would get there 7 games out there that he might be filling in, getting the ball over 20 times a game if they're running it and things are moving the way that they like. Because you know, at times, Shanahan's just going to keep pounding the ball, and he's going to get his totes. So I look at it, this situation, he's a guy that they paid. He is going in as the number one back. And I think that he's going to get an opportunity to tote the ball. I'm not going to say consistency 20 or more, but it's going to be some times that he carried the ball 20-plus.
How about Jerick McKinnon in this equation? Now, I know he's not expected to carry the ball much, assuming he's healthy, but he's going to be an option out of the backfield for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball. But what kind of different dimension could Jerick McKinnon – I still can't believe we're talking about that. What a great comeback story that would be. What added dimension can Jerick McKinnon add to the 49er attack, assuming he's healthy enough to be a receiver out of the backfield?
Right now I've got him in the second dimension, Whitey, because he hasn't yet been on the field to actually be a three-dimensional person. Right now he lives in the ether. He lives paper. He's a contract. He's an idea. Like Whitey was saying, Lowe, he's a good story if he's able to make it on the field. So right now I don't think you can count on him for anything. You can't even count on him to be on the opening day roster, on the opening game roster. If he is, that's victory number one. And then, Lowe, I think we can move forward with expectations, because last year was supposed to be the year after the ACL, and it happened again. So I don't think you can count on him for anything.
Absolutely right, because there's a story of a man named Brady, and he knew it was more and more than a hunch. You got to realize it's just a story until they become the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. So, yes, he is just a great story until they come together. And like you said, Dibs, until he gets on the field, then it's just a story. And it doesn't actually happen until he becomes that person that we think that he can become. But right now it's just a thought. It's a dream, but we haven't seen it. So we'll see if that happens this season.
Hopefully he'll catch more passes this year than Marcia Brady.
My nose.
Nice. Stories. Just trying to tie it all in here. Raheem Mostert yesterday explaining what a difficult decision it was for him not to opt out of this 2020 season.
It was a long, very long and tough discussion with my wife. Right now, our current situation, she's back in Cleveland with the family, with my 13-month-old son, as well as we're expecting our second child. So, at the end of September. So, the discussions we've had, man, have been long and extensive. But you know, she understands the importance of me being out here and, you know, being able to provide for the family and all those good things. And so we've had more positive talks than negative. And we've been able to communicate on a day-to-day basis, you know, just to understand each other's feelings and to make sure, you know, she's at ease, especially during a time like this with the uncertainty of COVID, as well as, you know, having the birth of our second boy. So, you know, it's been a blessing that we've both been on the same page. You know, we've both had nights where we've cried on each other and, you know, just talked about, especially before I left, you know, just talking about how we're going to manage this whole deal. And I told her flat out, hey, look, I don't want you guys to even come to Cali because, you know, I don't want you to be infected. I don't want my 1-year-old to be infected as well, you know, as the new addition to our family. So we were able to work it out and I'm here. So she understands. And like I said, it's truly a blessing.
So the 49ers have worked everything out with Raheem Mostert. Now let's see how long it takes to get things settled with George Kittle. Coming up, oh man, I got to ask Lo, what in the world the Raiders are doing? Have you heard what the Raiders told their players about John Gruden? That's coming up. Also, Giant fans have had it with this guy. No, not him, the other guy. We'll explain next. You got the 95.7 Morning Show, Whitey, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Coz, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in today. Coz back tomorrow. Coz, I believe, has Sacramento Kings pregame duties today. Kings have been struggling since bubble play got started, by the way. But Coz back tomorrow. Thrilled to be here with you guys. Yesterday, I was on with Brado and Kolsky. We actually talked to Farhan, which was very interesting. And a very interesting conversation. Just a crackerjack of an interview, Dibs. And we're going to have that for you today at 7:30 in case you missed that. Farhan breaking it all down from Joey Bart to why the ball's flying at Oracle to Gabe Kapler. So that's coming up at 7:30. Farhan, his first visit to 95.7 The Game.
I'm looking forward to that very much, yeah.
Yeah. Also, what's the matter? What's the matter, Lo?
Because Tim's just like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. just the way in which he said it. I have something for you guys. I know we're getting ready to, you know, jump into a little baseball, but when we look at Bochy and think about his tenure here and what kind of a skipper that everyone believes he was and he is, won titles for the Giants. But think about how he always backed his veteran players and how he put them in positions to succeed. He would ride or die. But and I think that we ought, it's an interesting point here. I think you guys ought to look at, let's take a good look at a guy that we all love. They called him the Iron Man, and you know who I'm talking about, Hunter Pence. Here's a guy that, you know, that everyone said, hey, Hunter's tough. He's the Iron Man. But he was 0 for 23. You remember batting in number 4? We're like, my God, what is he doing? Then on Sunday, you know what, last Sunday, you know what Cap does? Think about what he does. Dave puts him at batting number 4, a guy who hasn't done anything, puts him at 4 in the 4 hole, and he hits a triple. Think about what it had taken. Here's a guy that everyone said, hey, look, we looked at a man, he's struggling. Yes, and he's right, he was struggling. He moved him to number 4 on Sunday. What did he do last night, guys? A guy that we said, hey, look, we don't move him out of rotation, move him in and out. Where did he bat last night? belt, number four. And what did he do? And what did he deliver? So isn't it interesting, though, how everyone's on Kapler? But look at the moves and things that he's doing for veteran guys. And sometimes in opportune situations, you wonder, what is he doing? And last night, Sunday, these things work out. Because he shows these guys, I'm going to put you in an opportune position. I'm still, in spite of, I'm going to put you in maybe one of the most crucial situations, and let's see what you do, even when they're struggling. And look at some of these veterans showing they turn back the clock for just one moment, for a big-time moment for this Giants organization team last night. That was huge.
Yeah, Hunter Pence has a very specific role on this team. I think it's important not to put him in the same bucket as, say, Belt and Crawford, guys who have been here and are under, still getting paid a lot of money. Hunter Pence was gone. They brought him back. They brought him back to hit left-handed pitching, and he got off to a slow start. Yeah, but I mean,
I'm just saying, putting him in that spot at number four,
yes.
In spite of, you know what I mean? Got Dibs, that's a situation where we got to look at the cap and say, wow, don't you tip the hat to the cap? I mean, wouldn't you say, man, here's a guy that we're like, dude, run these guys. You know what? Okay, they're getting paid. They're getting a king's ransom. They're underachieving, but he still puts them in a spot for these guys to have a glory moment. And fortunately, they did.
So today you're tipping your cap to the cap, whereas wasn't it Tuesday? It was Gabe Gaffler, Dibs, and Lowe was calling him Gabe Gaffler?
That's the way I remember it, absolutely.
Oh, Dibs,
what
Dibs.
Are
you going to do that? You guys going to start this live
here?
In? No, you guys, that's what you guys were calling the guy, not me. Not me.
Huh. All right.
Huh.
Well, agree to disagree, maybe.
Yeah.
I mentioned that Giants fans have had it with one guy, and I wasn't really talking about Gabe Kapler there. Giants fans have had it with Nolan Arenado, who destroys the Giants. Big Twitter debate last night, Dibs. Giants fans wondering, is Arenado, who hadn't hit a home run, and now every time he plays the Giants, he hits a home run. Giants fans wondering on Twitter, hey, just put him on. Just put him on. Should you just intentionally walk Nolan Arenado every time, hit a big home run last night off Watson to make it a 4-3 ball game? Ownage is ownage. So what do the Giants do about Nolan Arenado? They have to face him again today, obviously.
Yeah, keep trying to get him out in a season where every single at-bat is not going to make or break your World Series hopes, and you have young pitchers. Young pitchers need to take on tough challenges. You can't just simply remove all the difficult challenges. It's like being a parent where you don't want to ever see your kid fall and get hurt, so you helicopter parent, and you follow him around, and you make sure that everything is cleared away for him. Well, when that kid gets older, they're going to be helpless. They're not going to be able to overcome adversity because he never allowed them to do that. I think this is the same thing. Yeah, Nolan Arenado is owning you, but you got to let your young pitchers go out there and try to get him out, because ultimately, in a late game scenario where you don't have the ability to walk him, you're going to have to get him out then. So go ahead and toughen up, buck up, buckaroo, and get somebody out.
Yeah.
No, good input.
Sorry. Yeah, I thought we were going to hear from Lowe.
No, I was going to ask Dibs. Apologies. I was going to ask Dibs. Hey, Dibs, Dibs, is that a situation? I get tired of carrying you. Is that a situation time where you, when you do that, or do you pitch at him all the time? Are you saying, hey, no matter what, you just pitch to him, let the young guys go at him? Or do you look at certain situations and say, hey, in this situation, we got no one on base. You know what? We're not pitching to him. Hey, this situation, hey, we do got, you know, guys in scoring situations. We got to go ahead and try to get this guy out. Are you saying at all costs, continue to let your guys just pitch no matter what?
No, Lo, and that's, it's nice input from you, but it's always going to be.
Sorry, it wasn't what you wanted.
If you're sitting at second and third and first base is open, absolutely you put him on. But the question was, do you just walk him every single time, which is what some Giants fans are advocating because of the level of ownage, and that's where I step in and say no. So obviously, in scenarios where it's second and third, first base is open, yes, you put him on, but you don't just issue blanket intentional walks. This guy is not Barry Lamar Bonds, for crying out loud.
You're right. I think you'd have to be a bird brain to walk Arenado every time. I mean, that would just be done. Another reason
he is
why
a big
that would
dog.
Be,
he is a big dog. He can hit that thing.
By the way, I read yesterday that it was last year, I guess this happened. They had a series of incidents in England where seagulls were killing dogs. That's
what?
Yeah, I know we had the debate about dogs and seagulls a couple days ago, and I'm, you know, doing some research, and yeah, last year there were seagulls. You know, seagulls are nasty critters when they get in a flock like that. Anyway, that shocked me. Dibs, to your point about, hey, you got to pitch at Arenado, especially in that ballpark, because you don't want to give anybody anything and no freebies in that part. You walk somebody, you pitch around them, and boom, all of a sudden, a home run. That place is a house of horrors. Now, that also gets back to a couple nights ago, why in the world Gabe Kapler had the infield in the first inning, which I still don't understand. Ultimately, it didn't matter. But you have to pitch to Arenado, especially in that park. You don't want to put anybody on base because, boom, somebody hits a fly ball, and then all of a sudden there's two runs like that.
Yeah, swinging a home run, as we are wont to say. And that's where you don't want to give up the free 90 feet, and you have to find a way to solve the puzzle that is Nolan Arenado, even if it's, you know, it's a solo home run, if you groove one and he gets you, and he's gotten you three times in a row, and, you know, today in the day game with the Heat, the Colorado Heat, probably is going to elevate one on you then as well, but you got to be able to get through tough things to be a major leaguer.
I think you just pitch, you know, at times when you're going to have to pitch some, it's easier said than done. So I have no idea what's it like to take the mound and pitch to a guy like Arenado that's, you know, could hit yard and actually destroy you. But you got to make sure that you don't pitch him good balls. You know, keep it low, keep it outside, and don't pitch him any strikes. And hopefully he'll become frustrated and start saying, okay, I know they're not going to pitch me strikes, but I got to take a cut at something that's going to give our team a chance, especially behind. Then big hitters, they want to show that show, but do what they do better and best, and that's hit big balls. So if that's the case, then you don't pitch necessary to him. You pitch him bad balls and make him start reaching, and if he's going to take you out, it's going to be on a ball and not a strike. So I think those are some of the things they got to stay focused on and say, hey, I'm not worried about striking this guy out. I'm worried about giving him nothing to hit, make him desperate to go after some, and maybe you get a strikeout that way. But it's tough to pitch around certain situations, especially we're talking about Colorado, because that is a hitter-friendly park.
Yeah, what's it like to pitch to a guy like Arenado? How do you get him out? We'll find out today. George Contos, former Giant reliever, current Giant broadcaster, he's going to join us at 8:30, so we can ask him, what do you do about Nolan Arenado? How do you get this guy out? To your point, Dibs, last night they pitched to him, boom, he hit a home run, still won the ball game. Now, I wanted to take just a moment here to go back to football, because I got to ask you, especially, Lo, what in the world is going on here with the Raiders? I don't know if you guys have heard about this. According to NFL Network, the Raiders logged into a Zoom team meeting expecting to be addressed by Gruden. Okay, so the players are on this Zoom meeting expecting to be addressed by Gruden, and they hear from an assistant head coach, Rich Bisaccia. They heard from him that Gruden is hospitalized with COVID-19. So the players in the Zoom meeting, oh man, coach is hospitalized with COVID-19. It wasn't true. According to reports, Gruden and the Raiders staff wanted to test how the players would react and prepare them for this most unpredictable of NFL seasons. So again, according to reports, Raiders Zoom meeting, and they hear from assistant head coach, Coach Gruden's not here, he's got COVID. And it turns out, no, it's not true. We just want you guys to be ready for anything. How can you trust your coaching staff if they're pulling stunts like this? I don't see any benefit in this whatsoever.
It's not. I think that, you know, I understand behind the premise behind it, but I think it's just it's bad taste. It wasn't a joke, Dibs. It's a situation where they can say, hey, look, should have had the guys on and say, hey, guys, we got to be prepared for anything this year. Meaning, you know, one of your running back coach, look at your running back coach. He may get COVID. You know what? The head coach may get COVID. We got to be prepared that anybody on this team is not immune to COVID. So if it happens, we got to be prepared. The head coach, get it. The GM, what are we going to do? But to have everyone on a Zoom call and say, hey, I'm the assistant coach and John has COVID, so I'm taking over. No, don't do that. I mean, it's a situation where you just tell the guys, hey, look, this is the truth. Your assistant coach, head coach, could be, you know, the head coach for 2 weeks or for the remaining season because your head coach could have COVID. But to play, to do it the way they did, I just thought it was a bad beat.
Yeah, it's not the way you go about training people for emergency situations. You don't just throw something out there. No, guys, we were just kidding. That was only a drill. You do it the other way. You set up the drill. You teach what the response will be. Then you go through the exercise, and then you go for review and questions after the fact. To do it like that, that's just Bush League. And like what he's saying, I don't know what that does for the trust value, the trust factor in that coaching staff.
Yeah, it doesn't teach them to be ready for anything. It teaches them, well, you can't trust anything the coaches say. And that's probably not healthy heading into a season, Lo.
Yeah, I don't, and I think the guys are just like, man, that was, the guys are like, man, what was that about? Say, man, you got to realize, if you know, if we come on the show and say Dibs, you know, taking a cat for a walk, or you know, something happens to Dibs, not nothing serious, and someone comes on the show and say Dibs is out, man, he's got, you know, he could have COVID. I mean, and we find out that Dibs had jury duty. I mean, our first reaction is like, man, when we tell us that, you're disappointed. You're like, man, I hope he's okay. You're wondering what's going to be going on. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh, no, he just had jury duty. Or, you know, he, you know, I take his son to call. You know, it's, and he's, oh, we just wanted you guys to prepare. Like, no, you don't do that. It's just, it's a bad look. You're right. Players, you don't think players are like, man, why would you do that? I mean, guys are talking, shaking their head in locker rooms right now or wherever they may be. And like, hey, man, homeboy, guess what this dude did? Guess what our staff did? Like, we bunch of kids going to tell us that Gruden's got COVID. And it goes, just, your whole thing is they're all like, oh my God, hope he's okay. Why do you do that to guys? I mean, guys are, you definitely made guys look at you different, all of you different. And I guarantee you there's some coaches saying, hey, I didn't agree with this. This was his, because people are dying with COVID. You know what I'm saying? This is a, you know, a lot of elderly people and things are happening. And all of a sudden now you play, you know, you're working out a scenario and you actually say that someone has it and you're not telling the truth, but it's an exercise. I'm telling you, people are offended about that.
Coming up, the pain of not being in the bubble. That's next on the 95.7 Morning Show. Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Coz, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Coz today. Coz back tomorrow. This segment is presented by Golden State Lumba. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Very glad to be in today with you and with Low and with Dibs. And I don't know about you, Dibs. I'm also really just grateful today that I'm not, like some people, a Laker apologist after what happened to them last night. Oklahoma City 105, the LeBrons 86. Ouch.
Yikes. Yeah, I'm super glad. You know, born and raised here in Northern California.
Right.
You know, when you
right.
grow up here, you know where you root in an NBA standpoint. It's for the blue and gold of your Golden State Warriors with your three titles and your most recent dynasty. But I guess if you live in between Northern and Southern California, you have a hard choice to make, and invariably most of those lemmings head south because, you know, purple and gold was where it was at for years and years and years. So I can understand where some would lean that way, but to swing that way is a whole another story.
Yeah, I think Dibs, yesterday you were out, Whitey, and Dibs had some very, very, very remarkable, you know, made some very profound statements. And last night, they came to fruition, Dibs. I think that it goes to show you, when Coz comes back on, you can say, see, Coz, this is what I'm talking about. He said a team, you got everyone looking at the Lakers, and everyone's, oh, the Lakers got motorboated. Newsflash, they're the number one seed. And Dibs, you talked about this because basketball,
sure,
the way it's set up and other things aren't going on right now. You said it's kind of a tune out because you don't want to see necessarily a team that's not really, that's already going to just play just to play. They're already number one seed. They're not trying to prove anything, not trying to do anything. You said it's not worth watching. You said sometimes, so now everyone's geared up for this next push for the playoffs. So last night was a prime example, what you were alluding to about just right now, this time that we're in.
Yeah, apology accepted on behalf of all Laker fans, Lo. So thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, I just had to, because everyone is going to say, oh, the Lakers, what's wrong? It's nothing. It's just the fact that they don't want to get anyone hurt. You look at Rondo, you know, Whitey, guys that are already injured. You want LeBron to be fresh. The guy's 35. You want to make sure that he's going to have that burst and make sure he has that, because he's going to require more than averaging 16 or 17 a night. He's got to put on his big boy pants, and, you know, him and AD is going to have to play big if they're trying to win a title and bring back a title for Kobe. You know, they're doing this one for Kobe. So this is one of those kind of like that last dance that Michael and those guys did. This is that, you know, that last dance kind of Kobe, you know, Kobe. So I think that the city of L.A. itself, a lot of people, even some Warrior fans deep down, they're pulling for the Lakers. I think
nice
this will win this one. Just win for the just win for Kobe. I think so.
On the,
you're one of those
nice
guys.
Nice try.
Text line 888-957-9570 from the 408. This looks like the 1991 Lakers. They're pretty good. I think they were second in the Pacific Division. So that is a very interesting comp right there. By the way, just want to remind you, at 7:30, we're going to play for you the interview that the afternoon show, Cracker Jack interview yesterday with Farhan Zaidi, and we've got that for you again at 7:30. That's coming up here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, you brought up, to me, a really interesting point. You talked about Bay Area fans you root for, of the Warriors, of course. Well, Steve Kerr is talking this week about how painful it is to not be in the bubble as the NBA has resumed. Draymond also, wow, it's painful not to be there. So, you know, when you have a presidential primary, and you've got people, they back this candidate, that candidate, and then this candidate bows out, he or she bows out. So where do the delegates go? Which candidate do they support? So Warrior fans right now, who do you think Warrior fans should get behind? Should they be rooting for, hey, LeBron is still California? Should they be hoping that the Bucks win? Because then maybe if Giannis wins, he'll decide, okay, been there, done that, I'm going to move on. What would be your official recommendation for Warrior fans looking for a team to latch onto in the bubble since the Warriors aren't there? Which way does that cut in your
estimation? Well, you get a free run at the East, in my opinion. Whichever Eastern Conference team you want to throw your support behind, go ahead and throw it. If it's, you know, Miami, or if it's Toronto, you're looking for them to go back to back, or if you happen to have a soft spot in your heart for Boston because you grew up a Larry Bird fan, whatever. I think you get a free run at the East. Western Conference wise, you could go for Sacramento, in my opinion. Keep it on the I-80. We talked Nimitz earlier, the Nimitz Freeway, and traffic moving well right now, heading southbound on I-80 out of downtown Oakland. But I think if you want to go Northern California love, you can hope for Sacramento, but their hopes of making the top nine extremely bleak. If you like Memphis, you can roll with Memphis. It's really anybody but the Los Angeles Lakers, in my opinion. That's the only team that you can't, under any circumstance, support. And if you're a new Warrior fan and you don't understand the deep history of sports hatred that I have and that most of Warrior fans have for Laker fan, then you need to do your homework. You need to do some research and remember what it was like in between Run TMC and We Believe, when every single Laker game would be three-quarters Laker fans at the old Oakland County Coliseum Arena. It was a sickening display of Lakerness, and because of that, it's anybody but L.A., Whitey. I hope that's the answer you're looking for.
I wasn't looking for anything in particular. Appreciate the Miami suggestion, because you got Iguodala. I would not recommend that people latch onto the Kings bandwagon right now, because that thing, the wheels are falling off, as you say. I mean, if you're going to do that, then pretty soon you're going to have to get ready to jump onto another bandwagon. Dibs, when you were doing that traffic, it's like, I know that voice, you reminded me of a guy that used to do radio, Sam Sherpa. I don't know if you ever heard Sam Sherpa. I was like, that sounds like Sam Sherpa. Like in the Bay Area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Sherpa was a pro's pro, an absolute pro's pro, Sam Sherpa. Worked in mostly in the Napa and Santa Rosa area, low in the early aughts, Sam Sherpa. Sam Sherpa was your guide, guiding you through the dangerous spots in the traffic Himalayas.
You know that is low. That was Dibs. That was his. One of his old. Yeah, and I used to be Officer Mike London. I used to do traffic as Officer Mike London way back.
Very
when.
Good.
So you guys had your aliases, huh? Dibs. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because you're doing multiple stations, so you can't show up as Dan Dibley on five different stations. So you go Kevin Giles, Dwayne Brewer made some appearances. Sam Sherpa.
Oh, really?
Sam Sherpa was a huge. Yeah, actually,
is that the
Dwayne Brewer got fired?
Is that the norm?
It is the norm, yeah. One program director called me and said, Dwayne Brewer, he ends today. We're going with, you know, filling a new name. So sometimes you come up with a name and they don't really like it.
Wow. All right, Dwayne Brewer. Apologize. I digress, but I thought that sounds like the dulcet tones of Sam Sherpa right there. I don't know, Lo, what would your recommendation be for Warrior fans? You're all on board with the Lakers, right? So I don't even know why I'm asking you.
I just think that I'd like to know what went wrong with Luke. Here's a guy that everyone talked about was a promising young coach. You look at him, you know what, he has a record that still holds, right? Kerr goes down and he wins, just unbelievable win record, doesn't lose a game.
24 straight to start the year.
So what does that say, Dibs? Does it say, is it means that the Warriors were just that good of a team, that good of players? And if so, What does that say about Kerr? And if not, where is Luke at in the Pantheon when you're talking about coaches? Here's a young, promising coach that now look at where he's at. How do you put that balance together and draw a conclusion for Lukey?
Well, bottom line, all it says is that...
Well, I think in the case... Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was going to say Clay and Steph are better than Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. That's the bottom line right there.
Yeah, I think when you look at... if I said Secretariat low, what would you think of? Do you know what Secretariat was?
Pretty bad horse.
Greatest horse, racehorse of all time. Yeah. But if I ask you who the jockey was of Secretariat... You probably wouldn't know that it was Ron Turcutt.
But so definitely,
you could have put virtually anybody on Secretariat in the Belmont, and you know he was going to win.
You could
the
have
Belmont.
Put Sam Sherpa
say Ron
up
Turcotte.
There.
Yeah, Sherpa a little heavy now. I don't know if old Secretariat would have handled Sherpa.
No, you're lean right now, baby. You're lean right now. You're lean.
Yeah, not quite jockey weight, but you know Ron Turcutt. Hall of Fame jockey, but in the Belmont that day, Secretariat was going to win, and that's kind of the Luke Walton comparison. 24-0 was because they were an unbelievable squad. Luke, I don't know how many play calls turned games or how many substitution patterns really swung it. It's not to say he's not a competent coach, but that team was a juggernaut, Lowe, as you like to say.
Yeah, but when you say that, I get that.
In defense of Luke, Lowe, I mean, you have a great organization with the Warriors that he was part of, and a lot of dysfunction. There's still a lot of things they're trying to figure out in Sacramento, so it's a whole different deal for Luke Walton.
Yeah, but you guys say that, but didn't he have the greatest player of all time, Dornier? Didn't he coach that Dornier the greatest player of all time? How'd that work out? What are you looking around? LeBron James? Well, you know that name, right? Didn't Luke have?
I thought you were talking about though. Nick Young.
No, I'm just saying. Luke for a while had LeBron. Well, how'd that work? I get it. I think that Luke liked the guy. I think loved the guy. But man, just interesting. Hopefully, can get that thing turned around there. But anywho, as I digest, Whitey, your show.
No, it's your show, and I'm just thrilled to be here. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station on the text line from the 510. Miami has Iggy and the best shooter in the NBA, Duncan Robinson. I know you all Warrior fans love shooters from the 408. No Lakers, no Rockets. Get the hell out of here, LOL. The Rockets are fun to watch. They're interesting, but every time I watch the Rockets, there's a part of my older, more traditional basketball brain that says, this can't work, this can't work, this can't work. And then they beat the Bucks on Sunday. It's fascinating. I still don't think they're going to get far, but it's fascinating to watch what the Rockets are trying to do.
Yeah, but James Harden is unwatchable in so many ways. He's such a great player. But you know what? You just so fouled James Harden, Whitey. I don't think that you realized it, but you just picked it up.
It's interesting just watch the Rockets because they're so volatile. One day they're losing by 15 or 20 and they'll end up winning the game in overtime. I mean, it's just you don't know what you're getting. You're right, Harden. They got so many different characters. Just no balance. I think that it's so inconsistency. It's that roller coaster. So they're a deadly team, a dangerous team. But I just don't think that they have that stability that they can win a title. So I don't see them. I still think that you got to look at the Clippers and think Clippers in the West and in the East. I think it looks like right now, is it a two man race? Is it Toronto and Milwaukee? Or do you say they'll throw Miami in there now? What they did. So is it a three team race? It's
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!